RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Our Midwest correspondent is Carrie Cox of TravelsWithBirdie.com. Carrie is a librarian and passionate reader, writer, and photographer who loves to travel in her Jayco travel trailer, aka Birdie. After only spending a few short weekends in Birdie, Carrie and her family decided to take an epic road trip from Missouri to Yosemite National Park. Her blog posts were nothing short of stunning.
Welcome back to the show, Carrie.
Hello.
It's so good to have you back. Last time on episode number 21, you took us to San Francisco RV Resort in Pacifica, California. Where are you taking us to this week?
I'm taking you to the rolling green hills of northwest Arkansas to Bella Vista Village RV Park, which is near one of my favorite small towns of Bentonville.
We got a new state here on Campground of the Week, Arkansas. Do we have a bell we can ring?
No, but we should, right?
We should have a bell.
Welcome, Arkansas. I have to get a sound effect.
I want to hit all 50 states, Carrie, so we thank you for taking us to a new state.
And a very special thanks to Progressive Insurance for sponsoring Campground of the Week. You can keep all of your stuff, and we all travel with a lot of stuff in our RVs, protected with personal effects. With this optional coverage, they'll pay to replace damage, lost, or stolen personal items in and around your RV. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV today for more information. Now, I'm really excited that you're going to tell us about this picturesque location in Arkansas, because I think it's sort of a undiscovered gem for a lot of people. So you're going to tell everybody why this location should be on their bucket list, right?
That's right. I think Bentonville is one of those up-and-coming places that you're going to hear a lot more about in the years to come.
All right. So can you situate us geographically in the state?
Sure. So if you look at a map and you see where Kansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Arkansas meet, you will find Bella Vista in the northwest corner of Arkansas, just south of the Missouri border. This area really wouldn't be on the map if it weren't for the existence of Walmart. Sam Walton opened his first 5 and 10 in Bentonville, which is now the headquarters of the International Corporation. So that brought a lot of people and wealth to the area, and other things started popping.
So this is Americana. Right here.
It is. It has that small town charm, but they've built up a lot of neat stuff over the years. So there's more stuff being added all the time, I think.
All right, great. So we're excited to go and visit. So tell us about this place we're going to stay, the Bella Vista Village RV Park. What kind of campground is it? Is it a private or public?
This is a private campground, and it's so private you pretty much have to be a member of an exclusive organization to go to it. So Bella Vista is a planned community. Back in the 60s, someone bought up thousands of acres of land in the area and built golf courses and lakes. And so everybody who bought the pieces of land became members of the Property Owners Association. And over time, it became a formal city and everything. But still, everybody who lives there is part of the Property Owners Association. And in order to stay in this RV park, you have to be in that organization or a Good Sam member. So we're excited to be able to put our Good Sam membership to work there.
Oh my gosh, they're screening people.
That's right. When you call, I mean, the very first question is, are you a member of the Property Owners Association? And I was like, no. And then they said, are you a member of Good Sam? Yes. Okay. So we're in.
So if you pull up and whip out your, like, your KOA card or something, like, you're just out of luck.
Nope.
I think so.
Well, that's okay, because we are Good Sam members, so we can stay here, and you are, so you got to stay
Correct.
Here. All right.
So tell us about the size of the campground. Is it a small campground or is it a big campground?
This is pretty small. I think there are probably 50, maybe 60 sites there tops.
So do you have to book way in advance, or does the exclusivity of it keep people away?
I would say that they probably don't fill up. When we were there, it was the very early in March, so they were probably just opening for the season. And they were maybe a third full, but I'm sure in the summer they fill up more. They do take reservations for the water electric spots, I've heard, but not for the full hookup. But if you get there and a full hookup's available, they let you slide on in. So I don't know exactly what the mechanism is for that, but the sites are equally good. So you just may not have full hookup for sure, but I would definitely call in.
That is such a bizarre rule, and I kind of like want to figure out why that is. I mean, are they saving the sites for the members of the Property Owners Association or what?
That could be. I wonder if they, you know, maybe they want to meet you in person and see.
Decide whether you've earned one or not.
If your rig is good enough for one of the full hookup sites.
Yeah. Was Birdie good enough for a full hookup site?
She was. She got a prime site because I told them that my sons were really eager to find out if the Wi-Fi worked. You know, this is our perennial problem with these teen boys. And the guy made sure to park us right by a Wi-Fi transmitter, which was right by the bathhouse. And so we were very convenient.
You had a cracking good signal.
We did.
How much does it cost to camp at this exclusive campground?
I thought the rates were very reasonable. $30 is what we paid for full hookup with our Good Sam discount.
I don't know if we have ever paid that little for a full hookup site, Stephanie.
At a private, at a private campground. Yeah, those are public campground prices, so that's nice.
That's like dry camping prices.
But at the same time, even though you could get full hookups, the amenities did sort of fall in line with a more of a public campground, right? Like a state park.
That's right. So there weren't any major amenities other than the sparkling clean bathhouse. This shower was so nice that I actually took a picture of it. And I wish that every campground owner would build a shower like this. So the shower had a door, a real door that shut. And then it had a bench outside of the door with a towel bar and hooks for your clothes, and then a curtain that closed. I mean, it was just like everything you needed for a nice, clean, perfect shower. So
I love how in your blog post, which we'll of course link to in the show notes, you mentioned like the hooks, the towel bar, and how all this may seem little, but if you've ever been in the situation where you're using bathhouses and you're like, where do I put my toiletry bag? Where do I put my shoes, my dry clothes, my dirty clothes, right? Like you have all these things. So you're exactly right. Like having a well-situated bathhouse, bathroom is like prime.
I think that one day Carrie is going to be inspecting campgrounds and bathrooms for Good Sam.
That's right.
Maybe we'll do, maybe that'll be our next podcast. It'll be like campground bathrooms.
Yes.
and Carrie will just be on assignment.
I am very picky, and this place exceeded my expectations. So
that's always good to hear. And that's usually a sign that the rest of the campground is well kept in my book.
That's right. It was very clean. I didn't go in the laundry area, but I imagine it's very clean too. But then that was it. There wasn't a pool. They did have a playground. The playground here is actually like an exercise station. So they had different pieces of equipment with suggested exercises. So that was kind of good for the kids our boys' age. But I think little kids would have looked at that and been like, what the heck? You know, so that they wouldn't have had anything quite to do there. And then the park also had a really nice picnic center. And then at the end of the RV park, so the RV park is actually in a park called Blowing Springs Park. And part of that park, only POA, the Property Owner Association people can go to, or visitors of the RV park. So there's this kind of exclusive area at the end of the RV park that had beautiful picnic spots, a little creek running through it, a cave and some bluffs. I mean, just a really great place to explore and play around. So that's kind of a unique feature. You don't have a pool, but you have this really great area to play around in.
And Stephanie mentioned it, but I'd encourage everyone to follow the link to Carrie's campground review on her blog, because she has pictures of just about everything that she is talking about, including the bathroom, as she mentioned. Yeah. So amenities are limited. Are activities also very limited at that $30 a night price point?
That's right. So there weren't any formal organized activities, but as part of that Blowing Springs Park, there are a lot of trails in the bluff that line this RV park. So right when we checked in, the manager working the desk gave us a map of all these trails, and they're designed for mountain bikers and hikers. So this isn't a bike trail that you take your easy rider on. It would be really scary, I think, to be on this trail on a bike. But of course, mountain bikers love that. And we were hiking, and somehow I managed even to fall and scrape my own self up. So it really wasn't the trail's fault, but it was just definitely a hike in the woods, but easy. You know, you weren't on a cliff or anything, and it overlooked the whole RV park. And we only got to do one trail while we were there, and there were actually, I think, 5 or 6 trails that we could have done all through different sides of the woods. And I really think you could keep busy walking and exploring the creek area.
Now, I imagine if you went back in later spring or early summer, it would be a totally different look, right? Because when you were there, things were fairly bare in terms of the trees. Right.
Yes, I would really love to see this place in the park, because the RV park's situated at the bottom of these two ridges, and you just know that in fall, those trees are popping. So I'm sure it's a beautiful place.
Oh, sounds like a full trip for you.
I think so.
All right. Now, you know, we were talking, and in your blog post we saw, the actual sites themselves are not what you would sort of picture in your head when you think of that quintessential, beautiful campsite, right?
That's right. So when we travel, we are really pretty strategic and practical sometimes about where we stay. Kind of like in San Francisco, you know, we wanted that base camp that was convenient. We weren't there for the campground experience. Other times we know we're just going to this place to spend the weekend in the campground. And so we kind of pick our campgrounds based on that. And so this was one of those places that was strategically picked to be super convenient to Bentonville. And so the parking lot, the sites are pretty much in a parking lot, but these bluffs line the sides of the parking lot, so you really do have a pretty view, even though your site itself isn't beautiful. And we just sat our camp chairs out at the back end of Birdie and looked up at the trees. So
yeah, so that's what I was thinking. You just make sure you face your chairs away from the road. Yeah. Or, Carrie, if you ever get that patio, toy-holder patio deck that you want so much.
It would open up, right?
And Russell can tow that with the FJ Cruiser, yeah. I'm sure.
I think that would tow the FJ Cruiser is how that would go.
You'd be in good shape.
I want to publicly on air offer Russell $50,000 for his FJ Cruiser.
Okay, I'll take it.
No, I'm withdrawing that offer, Carrie. Now, the sites looked well paved. They had nice concrete patios.
They did. So I felt like the sites were really pretty wide. At San Francisco RV Resort, which was the other kind of parking lot, you were in literally a parking spot. But this was kind of like two parking spots. So you had a spot for your trailer and then a spot with a picnic table. So you had plenty of room.
Okay. So a big rig could fit in there pretty easily, you said.
Yeah. Yeah. We saw lots of big motorhomes there too.
Any road noise in the campground? Are you hearing any highways when you're camping there?
No, this is kind of tucked down a back road, and so you're situated back in some trees and away from the highway, so it's really nice.
They're all back ends?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you have any sites that you felt like you would recommend over others, or do you just kind of have to go at the whim of this sort of secret society system?
Wherever the Freemasons put you is where you go.
I think you let them just pick their mojo. You might tell them what you prefer, and I bet that they'll work it out, because he was super nice to take into consideration our Wi-Fi needs and hook us up with a good spot for that. So.
All right. Any insider details for us? Any insider tips?
Well, I've mentioned that Wi-Fi a couple of times. This was the fastest Wi-Fi we've ever had at a campground. So the children were like, singing its praises. So I think they'll let me take them back there as many times as I want. They were happy. I can't promise that when the park is full that it's that fast, but I bet it probably is, because you're in a town. So I'm sure they have an actual, you know, hardcore Wi-Fi line coming in and all of that, however that works. But it works.
So if you're working while you're at the campground, this might be a good place to get some work done.
That's right. I would take my computer and sit on one of those picnic tables and really enjoy it.
All right. Now, the Wi-Fi may have been perfect or close to perfect, but we know that no campground is perfect here at Campground of the Week. So what could be improved within reason at this campground?
I think a very reasonably priced addition would just be a kids' playset. I think they could add that very easily. There's plenty of grassy areas, you know, either up by the RV park or down further in Blowing Springs Park, where they could put that in, and that would just rock the toddlers and preschoolers' world and not be too much money.
But playground is pivotal. We have been saying that for years, right?
Yeah, it makes a lot of people happy. Not just the little guys, the big guys, you know, the parents too sometimes.
Yes.
All right, anything else we need to know about this campground? You've given us lots of details.
Yes, we have stayed at a lot of campgrounds where we were pretty far from civilization, but this one, you're really just minutes from the town of Bella Vista, and there's a grocery store there that was the nicest, friendliest little grocery store I've been in. I feel like they deserve a shout out. It was Allen's Food Market. Every time I walked in there, at least three people said hello to me and asked me if I needed anything, and then the bagger picked up my bags and just carried them out, like didn't ask and didn't seem inconvenienced, just was like eager to carry my bags out. Just truly good customer service.
Did they recognize you as a Campground of the Week correspondent, or is that do you think that's how they treat everyone?
I think that's how they treat everyone. They just are really special people, but yeah.
All right. And how far away are you? We're going to go in the next segment. We're going to talk more about Bentonville. And you said that you were visiting there and this was like your base camp. About how long of a drive was it away from there?
About 10 to 15 minutes from Bentonville. So in a regular sized town, this would just still be part of that town, you know?
Right.
So it has a separate name, but it's basically flows right into Bentonville. And this whole little area of Northwest Arkansas kind of blurs together. There's Bentonville and Rogers and Fayetteville and quite a lot happening there. And Bentonville's kind of the northern part.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Carrie, for that great review of Bella Vista Village RV Park, which is near Bentonville, Arkansas. And we are going to be back in a minute to talk about all the activities and attractions that are near this campground. Stay tuned.
Since 1968, Jayco, the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories together.
Today, Jayco offers everything from camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes, complete with more standard features and a longer, stronger 2-year warranty.
Jayco gives you the value you're looking for and the peace of mind you deserve. Lots of family fun is to be had around a campfire with a Jayco nearby.
For more information, visit your closest Jayco dealer or jayco.com. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here with Carrie Cox from TravelsWithBirdie.com, and she just gave us a really interesting review of the Bella Vista Village RV Park near Bentonville, Arkansas, and now she's going to tell us about all the great activities in the area. So, Carrie, get us started. What are we going to want to do when we're spending some time at this campground?
So, Bentonville's a really great small town. It still just maintains that small town atmosphere. But the star of the show is Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art. And this is fairly new. It just opened in 2011. And it was built by Sam Walton's daughter, Alice. She is supposedly the second richest woman in the world with a net worth of over $30 billion, according to Forbes. I ended up looking that up. But she used some of that wealth to build this just beautiful museum and stock it full of true American gems. I mean, the first time we went, we kind of expected it to be a nice regional museum that, you know, we went there, we saw it, and that would be it. But we went and we were just so blown away that we've gone again and again and again because it's such a beautiful museum and has so much amazing art in it.
And does it focus on American art?
Yeah, that's it. Other than the traveling exhibit, sometimes they'll bring in some different things. They did a really neat exhibit of pop art and modern art, and that you never know what they're going to bring in, and whatever they bring in is usually pretty fabulous. So this spring right now, they have a road trip photography exhibit, and it was really fun to go see that. And they have pictures going back to like the 1950s, the start of the classic American road trip, and some major American photographers are exhibited through that, all the way up to really modern stuff. And it's just always interesting. I think every time I leave there, I leave with a new appreciation of our art history, but then also kind of the pulse of what's going on today in the art world, which is just really interesting to see.
Sounds like a big city quality museum in a cute little small town.
It is. I mean, it is a world-class museum. And then another thing about it that's amazing is that it is free. So all of the admission is funded by an endowment, and you don't have to pay anything to get into the museum other than if you go to the traveling exhibits.
Now, I have to say one of the most interesting parts of your blog post to me was, and I've heard about this museum, and I've read articles about this, but I didn't know that they had a Frank Lloyd Wright house on site.
That's right. That just opened. And I think it might even be from New Jersey.
I would have to fact check that.
Hey, we want that back. What are you doing?
Back.
It sounds like where this house was originally built was flooding. And they kept trying to figure out how to preserve the house and save it. And they hatched this plan to move it to the museum grounds. And the house was just lovingly rebuilt here at the museum. To get into the house, though, you do need reservations. They're free, but they only let, I think, 10 or 12 people an hour in there to keep it from, you know, being overrun with people, and that way kind of monitors can make sure you're not touching or messing with anything in the house. And if you do go to the Frank Lloyd Wright House Museum, Frank Lloyd Wright House, make sure to do the audio tour or a guided tour, because they will tell you about the house. And there was this point in the audio tour where my mind was blown. They tell you these facts and you look around and you're just like, whoa, you see the genius right there. So that is
amazing. I love his work, and I've never toured one of his homes. So that really captured my imagination. I can't wait to get down there and take that audio tour.
Yeah, I am just so sold on this as a great location.
It is. And it's what I like too is it's a great kid-friendly museum. Like a lot of times art museums just have a little bit of a stuffy feel to them that may be intimidating for kids, but I feel like this one just has a really open, friendly vibe. And then the American art is arranged by time period. So you kind of go through the museum in a linear fashion, and you get to see the history of American art from room to theme to you know, you really get to see that continuity of American art. And the pieces that are there are amazing. I didn't think to point this out to my children while we were there, but it struck me the other day that they have pieces that are multi-million-dollar pieces. So they bought Georgia O'Keeffe, I think, recently, that was $44 million. So, you know, to stand your children in front of that and say, this piece of art is $44 million, I think that's kind of jaw-dropping.
Don't touch.
Don't touch this
with those chocolatey hands.
That's right. But I think that every room has very nice guards in it, but who are very friendly, and I think want children to embrace that love of art too. So you'll see O'Keeffe and Warhol and Edward Hopper. Norman Rockwell. I think Rosie the Riveter is there. I think she's part of the permanent exhibit. She may have just been visiting, but I know I've seen her there. So really cool stuff that you see in your art history books, you can go to Bentonville, Arkansas and see on the walls.
This is the big guns.
It is. Like, it really is.
That's amazing. All right. So what else are we going to do in Bentonville?
So just up the road from the art museum, they just opened a place called Amazium, which is a children's museum. And my kids were a little too big to do the children's museum on our last visit, so we didn't get to go to Amazium, but the pictures look really fun. They have a Hershey's chocolate experiment lab where you get to do some experiments and eat some chocolate. They have a Nickelodeon audiovisual lab where you get to do some cool audio and movie stuff with some Nickelodeon characters. There's a cool climbing area, a fossil dig. We got to see the outside play space as we drove by, and it looked really fun to me. So I think that'll be a really big hit. It looks like it has the same like loving attention to detail. When you're in Crystal Bridges, it's not just the art, it's the architecture. Like every bit of it is just really beautifully done. And I think this Amazium looks to be the same.
So this town, as it's sort of revitalizing and building these things, it's really curating itself, it sounds like.
That's right. They're getting ready to open a modern art piece now on the square. Crystal Bridges just acquired another property. So I think it's going to continue to evolve and grow and add over the years, especially as people come. So I think that'll be exciting to watch and see what happens.
Now, you told us that the reason why this place is on the map, Bentonville, in the first place, is because of its history of being the home place of Sam Walton. Is that, or the just the location of the first Walmart?
Right. It wasn't even the first Walmart. It was his very first shop, a 5 and 10 store. So today, in the place where his 5 and 10 store was, there's a little shop that's kind of an Americana kitsch toy store. So you can get your Daisy BB gun and, or was it a Red Ryder? I forget. Yeah, Daisy BB gun. You can get just classic American toys you'll find there. And then there's a soda fountain, ice cream shop attached. So you kind of feel transported back in time as you look out on the square, and Sam Walton's pickup truck is even permanently parked outside there. So it's a great little place to stop and look around. And then some people like to go on in. There's a Walmart museum that kind of talks about the history of the Walmart Corporation and traces all the way back to its start there at Bentonville.
I love this combination of Americana and fine art all in the same town in Arkansas. I mean, what a surprise.
That's right. I mean, I think that, again, the first time we went, we thought, yeah, we just have to go see it once. But we've gone again and again and again, so much to the point that I may have looked at teacher salaries in Arkansas and looked at home values.
Looking at campground prices to buy one, maybe?
That's right. I think, man, this is a place to build an RV park because I think it's going to pop. It's really an awesome place. So, yeah, I don't want to give up my Missouri teacher retirement to move there, but this is definitely on my list of places I could totally retire to.
Two roads diverged in a crowded wood.
Oh, you guys had to get your quote. Go ahead, Carrie, tell them who said it.
No, don't. It's too obvious. Don't lower yourself to this level with me.
It's all right.
Now, Carrie, a lot of these towns that sort of have that, you know, revitalization, that cultural influx, they also have, you know, the breweries that open, the restaurants, the boutique shops. Does Bentonville have that sort of downtown culture also?
Yeah, so there's an up-and-coming kind of foodie scene, it looks like, with the breweries and the pubs and lots of nice restaurants that we didn't get to check out. We've checked out, they have a really cool bike shop on the square, so we always go in there and kind of check out the great two-wheel items that are up-and-coming and for sale there. And they have the restaurant that we had that we really liked is actually in Crystal Bridges. They have a restaurant called 11 that kind of takes a fun take on Ozarks cuisine, but with a modern touch. So whenever you read the menu, I'm always kind of like a burger with blah, blah, and blah, blah, and blah, blah, because I don't know what any of those things mean, but I trust that when I order it, it's going to be amazing. And it has been every time I'm eating there.
All right. So upscale, like Ozarks.
That's right. Very upscale. So over $10 a plate, but worth it.
And in a nice environment too.
Beautiful. Like in the restaurant there, it's almost hard to look at the person that you're dining with because the restaurant is built kind of on a bridge. I mean, I think there's probably a different architectural name for it, but it's over the water. And so from whatever side you look out, there's a water view from the museum and you get to see the museum as it wraps around. Crystal Bridges is built down kind of in a holler, is what we call it in the Ozarks. And it's kind of neat because you get on an elevator and you don't really see the museum from the parking lot, but you get on this elevator and you go down and you're kind of closed in. And then when you walk out, you kind of emerge into the museum and it unfolds as you go around every corner. So such an interesting place just to walk around.
Wow. What an amazing destination that I can guarantee was not on so many of our listeners' radar. And now they're scheduling a stop in Bentonville, Arkansas.
And one of the great things about RVing is you can see this great town and spend $30 a night on accommodations and be 15 minutes away, you said?
That's right. That's right.
Terrific.
Carrie, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you want to tell us about Bentonville before we head out?
I was just going to joke that we fell in love with Colorado when we went a few years ago, and we kind of call this area of Arkansas the Colorado of the Ozarks. So if you can't have the actual mountains, this is the place to go to kind of hike and bike and get out in the woods and have some interesting bluffs and scenery. And within 2 to 3 hours of Bentonville, there's some really cool places. The most famous place in Arkansas is called Hawksbill Crag, and it's a bluff over a huge valley. And so it's the most photographed spot in Arkansas, and you can hike to that. And it's, we haven't done it yet. I'm working up the nerve to, because I think there's some heights involved, but you can just really adventure in this part of Arkansas, enjoy the art. And there's just so much more to do than I think people would even think of with Arkansas.
Well, Carrie, you've just given us such an example of why we do this in the first place, because with a campground of the week, you just ignited our wanderlust again for an area of the country that we didn't even know was on our list. And that's just really exciting. So thank you so much for that awesome review of the Vela Vista Village RV Park near Bentonville, Arkansas, and all of the wonderful things to do in Bentonville, Arkansas, especially the Crystal Bridges.
So where can our listeners find you on social media?
You can find me as Travels with Birdie on Facebook and Instagram, and on my website, travelswithbirdie.com.
And also a big thank you to Progressive Insurance, who is bringing you RV travel tips here on Campground of the Week. They remind you that space is a big concern when you are traveling by an RV. And if you install wall hooks throughout your cabin to hang coats, keys, towels, and dog leashes, it is a little fix that can help out in a big way. Just another way Progressive has you covered while you're out on the road. We have walls of hooks to hang up all of those jackets, and it's made all the difference in the world. So thank you, Progressive. And also thank you to Jayco. To see a complete line of their RVs, head over to jayco.com.
All right. Thank you so much, Carrie.
Thank you for having me.
See you at the campground.
Happy spring.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.